declared our independence. I want to tell you, as Christians, we grasp, we declare our dependence on God. We are an independent nation. We're very dependent on our Lord Jesus Christ. 13 American colonies severed their political connections to Great Britain. That was our country. Our country would fight Great Britain for freedom as the Revolutionary War began in 1776. Years later, April 30th, 1789, George Washington was sworn in as our first president. And what did he lay his hand on? The Bible. And that tells us something about the heart of this country. We were allowed back then to take an oath to the office, laying our hand on the Bible. In fact, he went so far as to meet with the Congress and other leaders of this country for 2 hours, having a praise and prayer meeting with them before the country began meeting as a country. The song that he sang, or led the Congress to sing, was this: "Thee, O God, we praise." And I wrote that down, and I looked at it, I prayed over it. And here's the thought that I prayed: Lord, what would happen if our president called our Congress together and said, "We're going to have a 2-hour prayer meeting with praises to Almighty God, and we're going to sing some songs, and one of them would be, Thee, O God, we praise."
Amen.
Would that make a difference in our country? You know what would. I read that in 1776, 11 of the 13 colonies required that one had to be a Christian to be eligible to run for political office. Think about that for a second. What would happen today if all our states decided that if anybody's going to run for political office in this state or any other state, that you have to be a Christian? Would our country change with all Christians running our country? I would hope it would. Our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, said, "No book in the world deserves to be so unceasingly studied and so profoundly meditated upon as the Bible." Can you hear the thoughts of freedom being independent from Britain and also the hand of God being on this country from the very get-go? I share all these thoughts about freedom because freedom is so important to us. But let me tell you, it's also important to God. Our freedom, it's a God-given, God-protected thing that God gave us. From day one, before He created this world, He figured that He would create us and give us the freedom of choice. And everything that we do has to do with choices. You either do or you don't. You either accept or you reject. You either two choices. My whole life is based on. So today I want to talk to you about the freedom of choices, realizing that this country, we fought for independence, but as Christians and seeking God, we fight for dependence. It's awfully hard at times to be dependent on God. Sometimes, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes I think maybe I've got a better way than God. You ever think like that? You may not think it, but you act it. Let me take care of this. I've got grandkids, and I've got kids, and you know, the grandkids, I trust them to God a whole lot more than I did with all the kids. I just figured out the hand of my kids, but guess who handled who? My kids handled me. I learned too late to trust in God, to be dependent on God in everything that I do. So it's easy to be independent. Sometimes it's hard to depend. The more we depend on God, the more things of peace come, the more blessings we enjoy, more than we accept things of life, and things just kind of flow more smoothly, not to say smoother, because God allows things to happen. So we're going to talk about freedom, God's freedom, making choices to make. And we're going to start in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. There's two verses I want to share with you. Revelation 22, verse 1 and verse 17. As I read these, there's one thought in here I want to really, well, there's several thoughts I want to see that we're in, but I want us to hear what God is offering, and then the freedom to choose what He offers each one of us. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Before I go to verse 17, man, that's a good verse. This is what God is offering. A pure river of water of life. I'm not sure I've ever seen a clear, any kind of body of clear water. You know, growing up in Miami, we went down to Key West quite often. Key West has some pretty clear water, but it's not like what God is talking about, clear water of life. He's offering that to us. He said, look at this clear water. It's clear as crystal, clear as glass. I mean, it is crystal clear. It proceeds from the throne of God, and there's Jesus as well right by. Can you imagine that picture in your mind right now? That river of water, crystal clear water, pure water that he's offered, the water for eternity. And there's the throne of God. There's Jesus. And look at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride said, come, let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirst come. Who desires? Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I want you to hear that word freely. God has offered this verse 1. He's offered us that clear, pure river of water that proceeds out of the throne of God. Let us all declare that as we see it. But then he's offering it to us as a gift that we have to accept it. Or to reject it. If you want eternal life, as Jesus is talking about, you accept that river of life. You accept that picture that he draws of heaven. You accept that free gift. But can you imagine all the people that have rejected that same gift? Last night I was watching the news in Nashville, and there was an awful lot of protesters. And I don't know how many of those are Christians, non-Christians, but they're looking for something, they're searching for something, what they're searching for, they're probably not going to find in this country. And as I watched that TV, my heart broke. Again, I don't know who's of the Lord, who's not in that crowd, saw the TV last night. And I'm going to say that there's an awful lot of those young students and adults and people that have no idea about this river of life, crystal clear, flowing from the throne of God. They've chosen up to this point, some of them, maybe half of them, maybe all of them, I don't know, to reject this thing that God is offering us, this life. Precious life for eternity. So my heart breaks for them. You know, it's easy to get mad at them as they pull some of the things that we grew up with them down. And I'm asking you, don't get mad at them. Pray for them. Share the Lord with them. Share the gift that God's given you and you accepted it. Love them with all your heart. Love them the way Jesus loves them, because I'm telling you, he's offering this life not to believers because we've already accepted it. He's offering this river of life to those that have rejected him. Look at verse 15. This tells us who he's offering it to. Verse 15 of Revelation 22. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. These are the people that God is offering this free gift of life, this never-ending river of life, this pure, crystal-clear life he's offering unto those people that do not know him. Oh, man. What a privilege it is to have that up here and here, to realize that God's offering us eternal life.
Amen.
And I hope that you've accepted that eternal life. But he's given you the freedom to reject it. That's okay. We paid the price for it. Our freedom, and the willingness choose him because people should love him. He's not going to force it on you. Those outside of Jesus were being offered what you and I have already accepted. My friend David Jeremiah wrote in one of his books, "It is inherent in the nature of man that our will must be free. We're made in the image of God who is completely free, and man must enjoy a measure of freedom. And this enables him to," now I want you to hear this, "this enables him to select his companions for this world and the next." Remember when I wrote that, I got cold chills up and down my back. As we choose to accept or reject, we're choosing our companions in this world right now, and also who we're going to spend eternity with forever. You accept Jesus, and I hope that you all have accepted Jesus, and if you have, I know I have, I've chosen my companions, you guys. And you've chosen me, and we're going to spend eternity together. But if anybody in here has taken that freedom of choice and said, "I don't want you, Jesus," well, you're selecting your companions forever too. And guess what? You're not going to be in heaven. You reject Jesus, and the truth of the matter is you'll end up in hell. Our choice enables us to yield our soul to God at our own will, at our own choice. And God respects this freedom He's given us. One time, several times, God said, everything He saw, and it is good, it is good, it is good. And we are never found fault with anything that God has created. If God created it, it's good. So look around. God created us, didn't He? Not a single bad here. Us is a beautiful people. Not a single one of us has the privilege to say something wrong. I told the first group this morning, thinking about us and the way we look at things, you know, one of our grandkids died. We're not sure if Dylan took a breath of air or not, oxygen or not. If he did, it only took a few minutes. And Dylan had a half brain. Half his vital organs were not there. His heart had holes in it. Half his face was gone. And the doctor saw this 3 months after he was born. The doctor said to Vanderbilt, told my daughter-in-law, "We need to abort this baby." And I was sitting in the doctor's office, the waiting room, with my son and daughter's head with him. Doctor, my boy ran out of the waiting room. "Dad, Dad, they're trying to get us to abort our baby." Right there in the room, we prayed. Put arms around him, and we prayed, and I went in to talk to God. I said, "You don't have the right to take our baby's life."
Amen.
Come on, brother. But he explained to me all the hurdles Dylan was going to have. And if he did live, it was going to be an unacceptable life. Well, here's my response. God doesn't make mistakes. Dylan was not allowed to live but a few moments. But God didn't make a mistake. God created Dylan, and he was beautiful, and he was perfect. And he's alive now. More alive than you and I are. So we choose freedom to choose. We don't ever want to say God made a mistake, because He doesn't. So highly does God regard His handiwork that He will not for any reason violate it. He will take 9 steps toward us, but he will not take that 10th step. He will incline us to repent, but he cannot repent for us. It is the essence of repentance that it can only be done by the one who commits the sin. God can wait, and he will wait. He'll be long-suffering as he waits for us to make choices to repent, to accept him, to love him, to serve him, and commit our lives to him, and surrender our lives to him. Have you ever thought about why you have this freedom in the first place? Romans 5:8 tells us that even when you were sinners, Christ loved you. And he desires to have your love. He desires to allow you to come to him by choice. Our God could have made us into robots. And we'd have done exactly what he told us to do when he told us to do it. But yet, from day one, he gave us the choice to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it, or no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. Remember Adam and Eve? They had it perfect, didn't they? Pretty good gig going on. They really had a great thing. What they did, they made a choice. They messed up. God gave them that free choice. Did God quit loving them? He loves them. He took care of them. Remember Cain and Abel? They had it pretty good too. And Cain decided to take his brother's life. He messed up. God still took care of him. God still wanted him. Free choice, wrong choice, but God still wanted him to care for him. Remember King Saul. God saw something in Saul before he was a very old man, a young man. Had Samuel go and anoint him king. And at the time, Saul was very humble about it. I'm not worthy to be king. I don't know what to do. There's more people that are more qualified than me. But then he got full of himself and made wrong choices and began to do the priest's job. He messed up. God's going to take care of him. Samson, big mighty Samson, do anything he wanted to. And after God's heart for a while, until he saw women, weakness. He wasn't supposed to marry somebody outside of his religion. He wanted to. Very disobedient. God still took care of him. Still loved him. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. And brought this old piece of land and laid it before the disciples to do the kingdom work. And they made it out as if they gave the whole amount to God, and they lied. They made a mistake. They sinned. They messed up. They barred the doors. God took both their lives. Bible offers us. He offers us to come to this river. Those that are outside come to this river. We've already accepted that, but we still feed off that river. Whosoever will, let him take up the river of life that God says freely by choice. You were given freedom from the very beginning of your life that offered eternal life. And that eternal life gives you the freedom of having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our country was founded on freedom, which included God, which also included choices. And we chose back then to be independent of England. But even back then, we were striving to be dependent upon God. God, lead this country, help us, we get on our knees before we try to do the right thing. And as long as we stayed on our knees, going to God, making the right choices, he blessed this country. Does that make sense? Over the years, 200 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 years, accept Jesus, and they will become dependent on Him. When you choose to be a child of God, I'm studying Isaiah 43, and I got to the first three verses, and I had to stop, because this applies to today's lesson as well. When you choose to accept Jesus, you get the first three verses of Isaiah 43. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43, we'll read to you the first two verses, and then I'll talk about verse 3 in just a second. Isaiah 43, verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Do you hear God taking care of His people? First of all, notice who created you. The Lord God. He planned you. You're not put here by accident. You're sitting in here today, and it's not by accident. It's by divine appointment. I brought you here. You guys are from all over the world, but God brought you here today. What's your favorite? He did. Notice who formed you. God Almighty formed that babe. God formed us. God formed this country. He placed your seed in your mother's womb. He breathed life into you. He mapped out your life before you were even born. Again, think of my grandson Bill. God put that seed into Jay's womb. God formed that little baby. God breathed what life He had into it. That was all God's doing. There was nothing about that was accident. Nothing about us is an accident. There's no mistake in here. I grew up, I've shared with you some of my background. I wasn't the best child. I wasn't the best youth. I wasn't the best young man. I got into a lot of trouble, and my mom and I didn't get along at all. And she used to tell me about 5 or 6 times a day, "Jerry, you're driving me crazy." That hurt. I don't care how bad I was. I wasn't driving me crazy. I was bad. Something about her that allowed me to make her think that she was, I was driving her crazy. Did you understand what they just said? I don't know if that's a lot of words to put together. It was so bad in my heart and mind that I went to another adult and I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to go away. It's going to leave home. I'm driving my mother crazy." This man put his arm around me and said, "Jerry, you cannot drive your mother crazy. There's something listening to her mind or something that caused her to go crazy, not you." Well, God is like that with us. There's no mistakes. We are who we are. God created us just like we are. Some of you, He covered your heads with that stuff, whatever that is. Some of us, He made where we need these. He didn't make a mistake doing all that. He made us just like we are. He gives that free choice to accept Him just as we are. We don't change us, He changes us. God has redeemed you. And if you reject Him, He's asking, "Will you accept the river of life for me? Free? Would you make a choice to accept me?" He promises to walk with you through the stuff of life. He promises to go through those waters that overwhelm us, those fires that burn us, the lack of monies that we end up with. Ain't there like the bill of God right there when it's going to provide somehow or another? He will take care of our needs. I'm not saying He's going to give you everything you want. it's in the person here that's starving. If you accept him, you get verse 30 of Isaiah 43. This provision, powerful verse. I am the Lord whose God, your God. He's our God. If you accept him. The Holy One of Israel, whose Savior? Your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopians even in your place. I am the Lord your God. To a boy that drove his mother crazy, it's pretty neat to go from that to God is my God. He's forgiven me, he's cleaned me up, mostly. He's still working on me, by the way. He is my God. That experience that water right now. Can you imagine how it's going to be when you get to heaven and see it firsthand? You see that throne of God firsthand. You see Jesus Christ sitting at the throne of God firsthand. And then after that, we see each other. We've made our companions for eternity. If you're saved, we're going to meet one day in heaven together. We're going to have the greatest time. We're going to worship together. We're going to joke together. We're going to eat together. We're going to do the things that we do in heaven together. For eternity. I can close my Bible right now and say, Lord, it's time. I'm ready. I'm so looking forward to what I'm coming. I'll tell you what's not coming. We're not going to have to worry about coronavirus. We're not going to have to worry about the things of this world. My mama's not going to have to worry about me driving her crazy. But she's already figured that out anyway. Second Chronicles, I ended up with Second Chronicles 7:14 of last week. But today I want to end up with Second Chronicles 7:14 again. God tells us as he's calling us to the river of life. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. As we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, if we want to change this country and this world, we humble ourselves, we come to the Lord God, we repent of our sins, we get right with him, and then he hears our prayers and he heals us. Some of our deacons and I were praying before the first service this morning, and there's some laws being made. City got together they pull out their Bible, open up 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Amen.
And start right now. If my people who are called by my name, and all these people, I don't know how many thousands have to be, all of them got together in one place and took this verse, Lord, we will humble ourselves before you, and we'll repent of our sins, and we'll get right with you, and we come before you with weak knees, and we'll stay on our knees and as long as it takes. What do you think God would do? It's in this verse. He'll hear the prayers, and he'll heal our land.
Right.
And we got it in black and white right here. The answer to all this mess. The answer to life. Well, let me close with three applications for what to do with your freedom. You keep praying for freedom, for our freedom. It seems like every day we lose a part of our freedom. Well, nobody can take our spiritual freedom away from us.
Amen, brother.
It's up to us to use that spiritual freedom. Number one, keep praying for your spiritual freedom. And keep praying that you'll make freedom to make choices. Until Jesus comes back, we're going to continue to make choices to accept Him or reject Him. So keep praying for your freedom, and then the freedom to make choices. And then thirdly, the freedom to live and make more friends for eternity. When we do all these three freedoms with our mouth, with our prayers, with our hands, with our feet, God is calling us to tell others what He's done for us. Let me tell you, talking to somebody in Kroger's or Walmart or something, I got this river of living water. It's crystal clear. God lets me drink from it. I guarantee you, when we go to somebody in Kroger's or Walmart and say something like that, they're going to look at you. Most likely, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. Unless they've accepted that Lord and what you're talking about. But you can tell them what God has done for you since you've been saved. How He's changed your life. Freedom to make more friends and companions for eternity. I keep a list of people that I have the privilege to baptize, and a list of people I have led to the Lord, but it's not for numbers. Because I get that book out and I pray for those people. And over the years, there's quite a few pages of people. Some of them, I don't remember what they look like, but I still pray for them because I have them. But one day, be precious, one day, if they really meant what they said, and I baptized them, and it was all real, guess what we're going to do? We're going to see each other. We're going to have a grand old party together. We're going to enjoy fellowship together, and it's going to be forever and eternity. I don't know how long that is. I can't, my mind doesn't wrap around. It's going to be forever. You define what that is. Freedom to make more friends. I said that 3 or 4 times now. If you were living in China, you don't have that freedom. If you were living in Russia, it's different. There's a lot of countries that you cannot say the words of Jesus Christ. That could happen here in the United States. Let's pray for that. I want to close with this thought. We're living in the greatest country in this world. United States of America. What a privilege it is to be here today in Clarksville, Tennessee. We're alive, we're breathing. We're having a good time of worship. What a privilege to be here. Let's just make sure some of them are breathing. Pastor, I pray for you. It's a privilege. said, please come on down, and I'll be right there before you. And I pray that you now pray out of my Jesus in your heart, bless me, Lord, forgive me for my sins and come into my life. There may be other decisions that you're struggling with, and I pray that you not have love to. We pray and repeat about things. But as we pray for decisions, let's also thank the Lord for the blessings of the United States of America. We think things are bad, but a whole lot worse. A lot worse. And they may get worse, but we still think the greatest country in this world. Let's pray together. Father Almighty, thank you for another day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the Word of God. Pray your blessings, Lord, on the next few moments during this time of invitation. You speak to our hearts that there's some decision that we need to come to, Father, that you make it so crystal clear. If somebody needs to invite you into their life, pray that you will go home without coming forward to go to Jerry. I need Jesus. Maybe if there's some issues, Lord, that are just overwhelming, I pray that they'd be able to lay them at the foot of the cross. Let you handle those burdens for us. This is your time. We, Father, we pray that we see results. And I pray this in Jesus' name.